Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, season 11, episode 283. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And we got a great show for you today. We actually have quite a few articles, a really good variety of articles, not much about he who must not be named, but one or two maybe.
Well,
and of course,
we touch on his thing that.
It's a brief casual mention in there. So, yeah.
By the way, when has it been that we haven't had a great episode for our listeners? It's been a long time.
I mean, there was one back in 2017 when
2017.
I don't even know. I'm just making stuff up at this point. I have no idea.
Right, so. When we started, basically.
Yeah.
It's actually those three episodes that we recorded
that we never released. Those are the ones.
And you listeners have never heard them.
You don't want to know.
Maybe one day, someday, in the future, we will release those gems because we have them.
All right. Let's dive in. I'm actually really interested to hear your thoughts on this first one because I feel like this is the kind of thing that we should be for. And I'm kind of not almost in a sense. So
really?
Well, yeah. So the article is senators unveil bipartisan legislation to ban kids under 13 from joining social media platforms. So here's my beef. Okay. A couple quick things.
Okay.
Number one, almost every social media platform does not allow kids under 13. So it's like creating legislation that's enforcing something that the social media companies are already attempting to enforce, which seems completely and totally stupid to me. The other is that it kind of misses the point. Like it's saying that the platforms are dangerous for teenagers, but it's not really doing anything to make the platforms more safe for teenagers. It's just saying they shouldn't be on it, which doesn't really solve the problem at all, which is one of the points that like a youth committee made that they made in the article anyway. So to me, like it just totally misses the point and is it's just spinning their wheels for absolutely nothing, basically, in my opinion.
So from my view, I think this is a good thing. Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think we've seen detrimental issues with kids, especially in terms of mental health and things that they see on there and then the things that they do because they see on there because they believe that everybody does them. And that's not true.
Right.
But let me read a couple of quotes from this article to highlight why I'm a little concerned. Like that's why in theory I like it. In practice, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
First one, in what could be one of the most far-reaching changes to the technology landscape, the bill seeks to create a government-run age verification program that can certify users' ages or parental status based on identification they upload to the government system or to a third-party verifier. Okay, that's kind of an issue. We've seen these issues before. We've talked about these issues before with like that ID.me thing that you were forced to use for, I think it was the IRS.
Yeah.
And we know that these systems are not foolproof and not hacker-proof.
Right.
And it's just basically a big giant honeypot for a hacker to get to. Okay.
Yeah.
The other comment that then highlights this.
Okay.
That data collection, creates extra privacy and security risks for everyone, the CCIA wrote in a letter to Utah Governor Spencer Cox last month. That this mandated data collection would include collecting highly sensitive personal information about children, including collecting and storing their geolocation to ensure they do not reside outside of the state when confirming that they are of the age to be using these services. So this is specifically around a Utah law that has been implemented to prevent kids from getting access to certain services.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an issue. And I don't think we've figured out how to solve this issue in a safe manner. And having your kids have their identity stolen is like not a great thing because now you've got like 80 years of time to deal with having your identity stolen rather than, you know, when you're our age, it's only like 20 or 30 years.
Right. Hey, listen, don't remind me of that. But yes. Better. Yeah. it just misses the point to me in like so many different ways. But this is typical of lawmakers and which we see over and over again. Like they're so far behind the technological curve that they just can't create legislation that actually makes a meaningful difference.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, it's honestly just a complete and total failure in my eyes on their part to understand the technology landscape.
Yeah. I think there is just so much to technology that it's really hard, unless you're super deep into it, to think about all the nuances, right? To think about the security aspect about it, to think about the usability aspect to it, to think about like the fail safe aspect. Like what happens if the verification system doesn't work? Like nobody can access your site anymore? Like, well, I mean, is that how it defaults, or is everybody able to access your site?
And the government has proven over and over again that it's so great at building systems and websites. Like it's really excellent at it, except that it's not. So let's move on. But it is what it is. All right.
So moving on to another social media story. Be Real says it has more than 20 million daily active users.
Yeah.
And I feel, wasn't there another Be Real?
This is the pushback to the article that said it was losing steam that we talked about like maybe 3 weeks ago, something like that.
Right.
So it's a PR thing. They're trying to say, no, we're not losing steam. And they've got 20 million daily active users. That's great. They are talking about unleashing a feature that will allow you to post two other photos kind of throughout the day whenever you want. And that would potentially increase user engagement by quite a bit. And I think, honestly, that's a really smart move on their part. They're really kind of too far delayed, I think, in implementing it. But you know, I still don't use it. Like I still get the alerts and I'll get an alert in the middle of recording a podcast. I'm like, I can't do that right now. Like I'm not going to do that right now. I mean, maybe I will today. If it comes up today, I'll take a picture of me and you recording. It'll be great. But otherwise, not going to happen.
Well, as you're doing that, and if you feel like you don't have any friends on Be Real, this is actually the same article. So actually in this article, was it this article or another article? Well, Be Real also announced Real People, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
And they are now trying to get well-known people on Be Real be able to post. And then
their
you can follow these people. So then it's going to make you feel bad about your real life by seeing famous people
they'll post a picture of themselves without makeup eating oatmeal in the morning. Like I do. I don't have makeup in the morning but I do eat oatmeal. So like maybe that will be, I would love to see some real photos of like Brad Pitt walking his dog, picking up dog poop in the backyard. Like that'd be great. Like I could identify with that. So
I really need to talk to your wife and get pictures of you before you put makeup on in the morning.
You should. I look hideous. It's a terrible look before that. So
I need the before and after of that.
Definitely do. All right. next social media article. New York's MTA is abandoning bus and train alerts on Twitter, saying it's no longer a reliable platform, which I think is very accurate at this point. So
what's interesting on this is a part of this was driven by the fact that these organizations like the New York MTA lost access to the API, were not able to automatically push content onto Twitter.
Right.
And so, you know, like they're not hiring somebody just to type out tweets all day long. Like that's not a thing. They're going to automate all this because they already have the data. They can just,
just push it out.
You don't need these tweets to be human sounding. They just need to have the information. And that is actually one of the great services of Twitter. Weather alerts, getting your train things. I used to follow when I used to use Twitter. I used to follow MARTA, you know, things like that. So what's interesting is since this article came out, Twitter has flip-flopped and said like, no, we will allow free access to government organizations to be able to use the API to post their stuff. Because
I mean, if only they had thought of that, first, like maybe, I'm just brainstorming, but like maybe you put a team together and you think through like, what are the implications of this decision that we're about to make?
Why do people use Twitter? What is the value there?
Let's not blow that up. Like a little bit of whiteboarding session, you know, something like that. Like just a little thought behind the moves is all I'm trying to say, you know, like just something to consider.
Just a couple of seconds worth, at least at a minimum.
Just a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. And next in the Twitter rant, Twitter's former CEO has a new app that looks a lot like Twitter.
So I would love to see this take off. I'm just saying.
So it's called Blue Sky. It's supposed to be decentralized.
Yep.
I'm not on it.
It's invite only right now. I don't have an invite. Do you have an invite?
No, I don't have an invite.
Any listeners, do you have an invite to Blue Sky? Can you hook us up?
Send us an invite.
Let us know.
Me an invite first.
We would like to be there.
Then maybe I'll think about adding Adam as an invite. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
But it sounds good. But you know, honestly, I've gotten to the point where I've been off of Twitter, I've been off of posting like that for so long now that I don't know that I'm going to go back.
So I will say
I
this.
I think, like, I've broken the habit.
On the value of social media, I did rediscover a bit of value yesterday.
Okay.
So I've been off of Facebook forever. Like, just, I mean, not off, like, I'm still there, but, like, I don't really post. I never really log in.
Yep.
But then a friend of mine, one of my kids has gotten into crazy carts, and he's, which is like a go-kart that you can drift. It's like a drifting go-kart. It's really fun. And one of my friends sent me a link.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's really cool. He sent me a link to a thread, and he's like, "Hey, there's this, they're opening up this go-kart track for crazy carts on Tuesday night from 4 PM to midnight. You just go, it's $20. And so I ended up connecting with this guy over Facebook, and we got the invite, and we went last night. And my son, like, rode, like, these crazy, like, listen, crazy carts are they're built by Razor, okay? And, like, by default, they're fun, and you just get them, and they, you know, you charge the battery for 8 hours, and then it rides for 30 minutes and dies. It's one of those kind of things. These guys have souped up their crazy carts. There was one there last night. There were two that were amazing. One would do 45 miles an hour. This is a very low to the ground, small cart doing 45. The other one would top out, I think they said, at 60 miles an hour. It was, now the track we were on was so small, they couldn't possibly hit those speeds, but it was insane to watch them, like, squealing through the turns. So all that to say is there are benefits to being on social media. You get opportunities like this when you're part of communities, and that's really cool. And I'm glad I didn't miss that. But at the same time, I'm still not sure that I'm going to be on there all that much more. So sorry for diverging there. I just thought it was a fun story. So
okay, I need to see video of this.
I have video, and I will share it with you as soon as we are we're done here. It'll be
okay. So, love it.
And maybe I'll even put it on YouTube and throw it in the show notes. So all right. So what was the next article? Oh, next article. Apple and Google team up to stop unwanted AirTag tracking. So this has obviously been an ongoing problem. I mean, ever since AirTags came out, this was the main concern. They've done many things to try to eliminate this issue, and they're starting to team up with other competitors to also help eliminate the issue, which is kind of great.
Yeah, so they're actually talking about, so this is the discussion here is, and it's interesting to see this, that Apple and Google, a lot of times they're adversaries. This case, they're working together. Right. So there's discussion about adding this, identifying that, hey, there's an AirTag following you, and adding that into Android as well.
Yep.
So now it doesn't matter which platform you have in terms of your phone. You will know if there's a device like this following you. And there's discussion about other trackers like the Samsung and Tile trackers to do the same thing with them. By the way, I didn't realize this just until the other day, but Tile was acquired by Life360. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. I've seen Tile ads inside of Life360. So I guess that makes sense.
That's why.
But I've always just kind of ignored them. I'm like, I don't care. I don't need something to track my keys. I know where I do the old school, put them in the same spot in the house every day. It's cool.
Or in your pocket. Like, it's one of the two places.
They're in one of two places. It's pretty simple.
Or the bowl. Pocket or the bowl.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's a cubby, but, you know, same idea. Same idea. So,
exactly. Anyway. Next up on Google News, Google on why Authenticator Sync isn't end-to-end encrypted, but option coming later.
Really
what that is saying is, oh, we never thought about this because we should have just built it in the first place because we're dummies.
Right. So, but again, this goes back to, like, okay, let's get a group around a table. What are the possible drawbacks of doing it this way? Like, I just feel like a short conversation makes it so obvious. Like,
We're doing something around security.
Yeah.
Should we do it safer?
Yeah. The
answer is always yes.
Hey, we're doing something related to security. Is there a security-minded individual that we should run the details past? Like there's got to be more out there. I'm just saying. Like, you're not the only one, you know?
So I'm hoping I'm not the only one. Yeah. But
so anyway.
I don't know.
All right. Next up, in an article that I don't understand at all, but Sanjay made fun of me for, Lookout sells its consumer cybersecurity business to F-Secure for $223 million and goes all in on the enterprise. I've never heard of Lookout. I've never heard of F-Secure. And Sanjay says it's ridiculous that I don't know these things. So Sanjay, tell me why I care. Why do I care? What's happening?
This little Apple bubble that you live in and you don't know anything.
It's a gloriously designed bubble. It's very shiny. It's very clean.
It's a very nice gilded cage you live in over there.
It's very effortless. Yeah, it's great.
So Lookout is an app for Android that helps you figure out and make sure that you don't have any malware on your device. F-Secure is a company that sells antivirus software when you're running Windows.
That makes a lot of sense.
They're actually I believe a Nordic-based country, based company. And it's actually the one that I use. I researched this quite a bit. Many years ago, I was in a talk that Kevin Mitnick was doing over at MailChimp. And he had recommended a certain company. That certain company is... in a country that is not that friendly with the U.S. anymore, has probably never been friendly with the U.S. And there was some question about whether they were using that access to spy on Americans. So I quickly moved off into F-Secure, which is a little bit friendlier for our country. Yeah. So what this really is saying is like, look, if you've got Android, if you've got Windows, and you want probably a suite of tools to protect both ends of your products, F-Secure is probably going to be the way moving forward for you because now that they've acquired Lookout, which was probably one of the best apps on Android to protect yourself from viruses and malware. And F-Secure, I think, does a great job too for Windows.
Nice.
There you go. You should take a look at F-Secure, and I don't know what Lookout's going to do. They're going to do enterprise stuff. So, you know, good luck
They'll be secure.
Next up, Earth.com files for bankruptcy owing 5 million smackaroonies for their domain name. First of all, do you know Earth.com? I don't think I went to the site.
I've never heard of Earth.com, number one. Number two, when you pay $5 million for a domain name, or you still owe $5 million for a domain name, which would imply that you probably paid more, it's probably not that surprising that you went bankrupt. Like, that's all I'm trying to say. Like, that's not... that's surprising. So,
I mean, I just went to the site and it basically looks like it's a news site for like Earth environmental, like climate news.
Yeah.
They could have just done earthnews.com for probably a fraction of that price.
And also, like, you got to realize, like, if it's related to environmental, like, people are just so concerned about it. Like, they're going to go to the site in mass because they're just so, oh yeah, that's right. No, we're just killing the planet willy-nilly. I forgot. Sorry. My bad. I was confused about the dystopian future in which we're creating.
You were thinking Mars.com because everybody's worried about
that. That would probably get more traffic than Earth.com. It probably would. Or like TrashEarth.com actually might get more traffic in all fairness.
You know, it's funny because back in the .com days and then even kind of in the resurgence, people have thought that, a good domain name is the thing that's going to tip it. And it's not.
No.
Right? Like, no, it's not. Yahoo, come on. And Google, like made up words.
Yeah.
Right? It's really what you do behind it.
Right.
And that will cement the name into people's minds. Right. Yeah. And so don't spend your money on the domain name. Spend your money on making the thing good.
That's it. Speaking of making the thing good, or maybe being good while making the thing, Microsoft quietly supports legislation to make it easier to fix devices. Here's why. That's a big deal. Tip, it's a big deal because they're a big company and they don't want to make money off of broken devices. And that's unusual, oddly enough. That's why it's a big deal. Like, it's a big deal because they're not dirtbags about it. Like, okay, that's so great. That is a big deal.
I mean, Microsoft. Yeah. So they were pushing in Washington State, which obviously is where they're headquartered, for this bill to pass. And they asked for some adjustments to the bill to make it a little bit more friendly. And some of them are very reasonable to me. Like, they asked, like, hey, this bill should only apply to devices made once the bill is passed, you know, is signed into law and afterwards.
Right.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. They don't want to go back and be like, oh, we've got all these old devices now that we have to support that we never thought about supporting and were never built or designed in a way to be able to be repaired easily. And this is going to be a pain. Like, I get that. Like, those are reasonable adjustments to make. The only thing I wish is that Microsoft in this process, and now obviously it's public, I wish they'd been more vocal about it, right? Like, don't be quiet about it. You've got a lot of power in the room. And when you're a company like that, your voice has a lot of sway. And to say like, no, this is the right thing to do, not just from a business perspective, but from an environmental perspective and right. from a consumer rights perspective, it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And it's good for all of us and we can still be fine and make money because the argument on the other side always is like, oh, all the companies are going to go away because we can't make money anymore. And that's obviously not true, right?
Not
just because it's a change doesn't mean you're not going to be able to make money.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So anyways, let's move on to our AI segment here.
Oh, yeah, AI, this is going to be good.
AI political ads are here and no one knows how to handle them. You know how I handle them? I handle them the same way I do
ignore
all political ads.
Is hang up the phone?
You don't? Change the channel, skip forward. Okay,
but did you look at the ad in this article?
I did look at the, I didn't watch the ad.
You had to watch it. Like it's a 30 second ad and they used all video created from AI. So fake video created from AI.
Actually I did watch the ad now that I'm thinking about it.
So it was a very good, very compelling ad. I thought, I mean like very well done, well crafted, and the dystopian future scenes that they created using AI were pretty shocking and really, really good. I thought it was really well done. But honestly, it's the first ad using AI generated stuff. And like, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Like it's all coming now. It's all happening.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I wonder crazy. Like, this is, you're right. This is the tip of the iceberg. How long is it until an amateur filmmaker, like let's say you or me can sit down and
make a movie
that is cinema quality based on just the idea that we have.
It's not that far away. It sounds insane, but it is not that far away. It really isn't. It's just wild to me.
So. I don't know how we deal with that. Like, how do we deal with the content and all that stuff that's going to be created and the fracturing of society a little bit, because you know there's important things that come from media and content like this that you know there's certain things that are kind of cultural touchstones that everybody's watched an episode of Brady Bunch, right? Like Marsha, like almost everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But imagine if only like anything like that, like nobody widespread knows because there's just so much content. There's not enough people that know this thing that now you have no way of relating to one another through these kind of comments.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, though. I mean, I think the best stuff probably starts to rise to the surface. And so in some ways, it would hopefully encourage us to create like the best content. Like, so it puts the ability to create content in the hands of people that otherwise wouldn't have it.
That's
and
true.
And therefore... we can, we're seeing that happen even in Spotify with music, right? Like one of our, like me and you, one of our favorite artists right now is Connor Price. And like, he's not on a label. He has no label whatsoever.
Yep.
And dude is making millions of dollars because his music and his content is really good.
Yeah.
And it's just compelling. And so I think it just takes people to the next level,
The interesting thing about him too, I was looking, I think he just had a new track that dropped. I haven't listened to it, but I read one of the comments on the Instagram post and it was like, you know, this person was saying, I love the fact that you post about these tracks and I don't have to wait to go listen to them.
Yeah.
They're live at the same time.
Like,
and what's interesting is that he is not doing albums.
No,
right. In quotes,
as
he records tracks, he releases the tracks, right?
Yeah.
So there's no like delay, like, oh, you know, Beyonce hasn't released an album in 4 years and maybe now we'll finally get one. It's like, you don't have that with Connor Price. It's like, wait a couple of weeks and there'll be a new track because he's been working on stuff and he's not holding them all up to do one album. So
love that.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
All right. Next up, Canva AI can turn photos into a professional headshot. And I would add the word ish to the end of this because I sent you this in Slack. I tested it. I uploaded a photo. I went through the thing. I erased the shirt and I typed in professional button up shirt. It gave me a couple options. The one I sent you is by far the best option. Tell me how that photo looks, Sanjay.
I mean, your facial expression is funny.
Well, I mean, the facial expression didn't change, man. Come on now. It's the shirt that changed. Yeah. Right.
I'm zooming in on the shirt. It's got some kind of weird buttony thing on your left shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't really understand what that is.
Yep.
What kind of shirt were you wearing originally?
I mean, I was just wearing like a plain, like a t-shirt that was a solid color. So
okay.
It replaced that t-shirt completely, but it like the shirt looks like it's malfunctioning. Like the shirt I put on me and it doesn't quite fit and it sits on my shoulder weird and one shoulder is kind of fuzzy.
And you've got like some kind of weird thing happening with your neck. I don't know if that's real or not.
I don't
if
think
it is real.
You
need to go to the doctor because you've got like a hunchback thing kind of happening there that you need to get checked out.
It's very funky. I mean, like this idea of like AI putting different clothes on models it's a great idea. And I think it's coming. I think the implementations at this moment are kind of crappy.
We've talked about stories similar to this before where like Levi's, I think, had this like person scanny thing.
Yeah.
And then you could try on different jeans without actually having to physically try them on and then see yourself from like all angles that you normally can't see yourself. Right.
Yep.
It's interesting. It's obviously not there yet, but just like being able to make movies by typing it all out, you know,
it's getting there.
Mm-hmm. And then somebody that's having to deal with it and figuring out how to deal with it. AI is tearing Wikipedia apart.
Yeah.
So they've been having calls with their, editors, I think they're called, to talk about AI generated content and how, you can use it, but a lot of it's wrong and you can't just use it willy nilly. You've got to actually edit it and make sure and double check the things because I think they even mentioned in this thing that like ChatGPT will hallucinate. They call
hallucinate.
It or something.
That's what it says. Yeah. Hallucinate. It will hallucinate. It will make up articles and authors of those articles.
Right.
It will make up author names and it will even like conflate scholar names and take like a lesser known scholar and like combine it with the better known scholar to make up a fake scholar name. Like it's trippy. It's a little trippy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually asked one and I forgot which one now to write a bio of me because I wanted to see what it would come up with.
Yeah.
And it pulled stuff of people that are not me. Or maybe there are other Sanjay Pareks out there that it's like, oh, this is probably the same person because there's only one person in the world with this name or something.
Clearly, there's only one. Sanjay.
I mean, it's such a unique name that nobody else would have it.
Yeah, nobody else named Sanjay.
But it just kind of like put in like things that I'd done and whatnot. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not any of these things at all. Like, definitely don't do healthcare stuff because that will gross me out and I will pass out. So
yeah, you and me both, man.
I just
and me both.
Type on computers instead
bad stuff.
All day long.
All right. Last up before Weird and Wacky, FakeSpot is acquired by Mozilla. So I'd never heard of FakeSpot before. So I went down the rabbit hole. And I even installed it in my browser. So apparently FakeSpot is a browser extension that allows you to spot fake reviews on sites like Amazon and eBay so that you are not buying stuff that's scammy, which is kind of great. I love it. So I feel like I'll try it out. So I haven't gotten to try it yet. I just installed it this morning, but you know, I'm looking forward to trying it. It's going to be great. But acquired by Mozilla, which I mean, is also great because they'll hopefully roll it right into Firefox.
And they're saying they're going to keep all 13 people that have been working on this and hopefully growing that team as well.
Yeah, that's great.
So this is, I think, good news. I searched through the show notes real quick to see if I'd recommended this before.
No.
There's another app like this that I'd recommended that helps detect fake reviews like this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because that is definitely a scourge. And I think it's, you know, this is in this grouping of AI. It's only going to get worse because it is so easy
it really is.
To do this stuff. And actually, Mickey was not too long ago lamenting the fact that he's getting comments on his LinkedIn post that are clearly AI generated just to get clicks and stuff. And it's like, we can't have nice things sometimes.
No, you can't have nice things.
But maybe we have technology that'll help us get the nice things back.
That's the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an expert.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot. And we got one article for y'all in Weird and Wacky. And the title is, it's actually a Mastodon post. Is your desk chair messing with your screen?
Yep.
So this person went down this rabbit hole. They were having problems with their monitor on their computer. And it seemed like it was only happening when they were coming on and off of their chair. Like their screen would disappear. just momentarily, and they didn't understand. They switched chairs, and it seemed like it was related to the chair. And it turns out this was an IKEA chair that's fabric covered, and it was the suspension in it, when you sat in it, was creating a very strong electrostatic discharge that was creating a field, an electromagnetic field around it, that was causing the screen to blank out. So the chair was incompatible with the screen.
That's really the question. Like, that should have been the article. Is your chair compatible with your screen? You know, like, why? Like, oh my gosh, like that. Like, reading the thread was pretty great too, because he's like, I did this, and then I did this, and then I checked the cables, and then I wiggled every cable, and then I did this, and then I realized it was when I sat in my chair. So then I went and got a different chair, and I sat in that chair, and then it didn't happen. So then I went and got this chair and sat in this IKEA chair again, and it happened again. And then I started Googling, and then I found this thread where other people were having this problem. And oh my gosh, this is a real thing. And oh my gosh, it was a great thread to read. I really enjoyed it.
So much appreciated his tenacity figuring out what the problem was.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would be just like, okay, this chair works, that chair doesn't work, I'm done.
I'm out. Yeah. Well, like, I gotta wonder, like, what is that moment like when you have the epiphany that your desk chair is interfering with your computer monitor? Like what goes through your, like, am I bugged? Is the chair bugged? Is the CIA listening? Like, what is happening right now? Like, it's got to totally freak you out a little bit, you know?
It does, because it really doesn't make any sense, because it's just a chair. Crazy.
It's just nuts.
It's not a plugged in chair or anything. Yeah. It's just a chair.
It's just a chair. So, tech wreck, anyway. Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck. Tech wreck.
Chicky. Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck. All right, Adam, it is tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
All right, so I've been trying out Dropbox Capture. So Dropbox Capture is a little program, and you can use it to quickly capture video. So you can capture you talking, like talking head video, if you just talk on the screen, or a screen share, or a screen share with like a little circle with your head in the bottom doing a presentation or whatever. And as soon as you hit stop recording, it automatically uploads and then pulls that up in your browser and gives you a link. And then you can immediately share that link with someone that message is for. And so I'm very, very, very impressed with it. The only problem I'm having with it right now is that when I record, my mouth and my audio are not synced.
Huh.
And I think that's related to me having an external camera and an external microphone.
Yeah.
And so the problem, so I'm not going to be able to use it because I don't, that's going to be distracting for people.
Right.
So, I was hoping, hopefully I can upload videos to it. Well, no, you can't upload videos to it. You have to use it to get. So anyway, I'm hoping it's going to continue to improve and get better. And then I can sort of fix that problem. But ultimately I'm incredibly impressed with it, other than that one minor syncing issue. So
do you have like a regular webcam that you can use that?
Maybe I could try it. I could try that. Yeah. But to me, that kind of defeats the purpose. Like I think I could run OBS and run a virtual camera through OBS and delay my video by a split second, and that would probably match it up.
Yeah.
So if I'm willing to take that, and I may do that. I may take that extra step and do that.
Yeah.
Just to use this, but I'm incredibly impressed with the software. I just got to get it working for my particular setup. So,
yeah. So anyway. Listeners realize that here over at Tech Talk Y'all and Edgewise Media, we roll hot. And
we use
fancy cameras and fancy microphones.
We got some stuff. Yeah.
In case you've never seen video of us recording.
We gotta look the part, you know, have the stuff.
Exactly.
But I will say, to me, this tech wreck plays into, I fully believe that at some point we're gonna get more seriously into video messaging as a culture, where rather than us typing out some super long email, we're actually just sending a quick video message to people. To me, it's almost ridiculous that we don't do that right now, honestly, because it's so much more effective, so much better communication. So I think this is kind of one step in that direction. I mean, I've recommended Vidyard on this show before. The problem with Vidyard is it auto puts the videos into Vidyard, and I don't think you can get them back unless you're on a paid account. So you can't download your own videos unless you're a paid account, and
then
it becomes a whole thing. So I like this as a potential replacement for that. But again, I've got to get the syncing issue working.
I will make a plug for anybody that's going to use this. If you're going to do this and do like a presentation, don't do it without your own face and face on there, like talking. Yeah. Because the disembodied head, I had this problem a lot of times. I used to do that event, Startup Riot, and people would be like, oh, can I just play a video instead of presenting? I'm like, no, that's not the point.
No.
Because playing a video creates no emotional connection between you as a presenter and the audience.
That's right.
Right? Like, why would I come to an event and watch a video? And the same thing should be here. Yeah, you are sending a video, but if your video, if the picture of you, you know, video of you talking has that opportunity to create that emotional connection, they can see you, they can see you speaking, and it makes it a little bit more lifelike and real. So if you're going to do this, like, definitely think about, you know, leaning towards having your video on there and not just hiding it away and just having a voiceover. I think it'll be a lot better that way. So,
all right, Sanjay, that's good advice. And what is your tech rec for us today?
So I found something that I just stumbled upon. It has floated to the top of Hacker News, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So it's called News Minimalist.
Okay.
And I think it's somebody that's like a solo person that's built this, but basically they are using ChatGPT to analyze the daily news and rank it all and then give you only the top news. So you don't need to read all that garbage.
Oh, I love this.
Only the significant news. And you can actually sign up for their newsletter and it will only give you the news that's at the top part of it. Now on their site, they actually have a little slider bar and it you know, I think it starts at 6 or something like that. And you can slide it down and increase the amount of news. Like, hey, I want everything that's 3.0 and above. And so for today, right now, it's 450 articles. Well, that's too many for me to read. So I'll move back up to 7. It's 2 articles.
Yeah. Right?
I only got to read 2 articles to really know what's really significant happening today. Yeah. And so the point of this person that made this is like, look, news sites are broken. Their employees have to just keep generating more and more content. But a lot of that stuff is things you don't need to know. It's not significant.
Right.
And so this site is really about analyzing and to give you only the most significant news
that you
need to know about.
I love this.
So check it out. Newsminimalist.com. There's a link in the show notes to get you over there. But you can sign up for it. And I have already signed up for it, but I used a DuckDuckGo private email address to do that.
Yes, you did.
So we'll see how it goes with that.
Well, all right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They cannot find me on Twitter because I'm not there anymore, but they can find me on my website, sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
Find me on my website, adamjwalker.com, and sign up for my newsletter, and it'll be maybe not as interesting as News Minimalist, but maybe more. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So
I just noticed that News Minimalist even has an RSS feed, so you can just like funnel that into stuff.
Boom. Do-do-do!